folks, thank you so much for listening to the Hagmann and the Hagmann Report. My goodness, it's so great to have each and every one of you tuned in tonight. We're actually going to be responding to your Facebook questions tonight, but we're going to be intertwining news and our analysis of current events in the news as we address your Facebook questions. And all of them are well, 99% of the Facebook questions are right on the money. They're great. And even the ones that seem contentious, you know, we're going to address as well. But it's interesting because this is the way I think social networking should be used, as opposed to putting up, you know, what you had for lunch or you know, what you're doing today or what. No, you use it as a tool, and it's a force multiplier, that is. Now, before we get back to the program, I want to just let everyone know that we are so excited about HelloFresh. And if you haven't heard about this or haven't gone to this website, at HelloFresh, they want to change the way people eat. And that's the way people eat forever. They believe that everyone deserves honest and natural, delicious, healthy food. They celebrate fresh ingredients, and they make magic in the kitchen, or at least allow us to. And they know that everyone, there's a chef in everyone, you know. They bring food, or they bring people together and through food. And how many, my goodness, family gatherings, perhaps a Sunday afternoon dinner. Isn't that a great time to talk and family time? Where has family time gone? Oh, I digress. But whether you're a busy professional couple, a large family that runs at a breakneck speed, gee, do we know any of those? Or someone who simply wants to start cooking more? HelloFresh makes it easy, tastier, healthier than ever to enjoy the experience of cooking new recipes and eating together at home. Oh, I love it. You know, from creating the recipes and planning the meals to grocery shopping and even delivering all of the pre-measured ingredients, HelloFresh delivers right to your door so you can skip the trip to the grocery store. My goodness. Yeah, that's for me. You know, they offer right now, HelloFresh.com, they currently offer customers a classic box or a veggie box. So if you're a vegetarian, yeah, they got something for you. And they're going to be launching a family box soon. Customers can order 3, 4, or 5 different meals every week designed for either 2 or 4 people. And new recipes are created every week. That's what I like about this. Oh, it's never boring. You know, HelloFresh is the meal kit delivery service that makes cooking fun, easy, and convenient. Each week, they create new delicious recipes with step-by-step instructions designed to take around, a half hour or so. For everyone, from novices to seasoned home cooks short on time, they've got inside the box the freshest ingredients measured to the exact quantities needed so there's no food waste. And as I mentioned before, they employ a full-time registered dietitian on staff who reviews each recipe to ensure it's nutritionally balanced. All, folks, delivered to your doorstep in a special insulated box for free. Lady likes it when the boxes come. We've had such a great experience with HelloFresh, and you saw me in my apron and such. And my wife and I we have a date night. Actually, more than one night when we, either before or right after the show, we'll cook meals with HelloFresh, and it's so easy and it's so much fun. It really is. Folks, go to HelloFresh.com because there's a special offer for listeners of our show at HelloFresh.com. HelloFresh.com. That's right. HelloFresh.com. Get $35 off your first week of deliveries. HelloFresh.com. And all you have to do is enter the promo code Hagmann, H-A-G-M-A-N-N. And there's a link off HagmannReport.com to HelloFresh.com. Folks, you won't be sorry. And there it is. Now, we had talked about so many things taking place right now, so many things in the headlines. I spoke with Steve Quayle earlier, and then, Joe, you can punch in on this, but I spoke with Steve, and I said, Steve, let me ask you something. I mean, you and Pastor Langford were on Wednesday, and I wanted to ask you, Steve, about this. I said, if you were going to do a radio show tonight, and I said, can you? And he said, no. Anyway, I said, if you're going to do a radio show tonight, what's the one thing that you would tell people out there? And I was being honest, and I said, you know, I'm looking for this one thing that we can tell our listeners from Steve Quayle. And there was a period of silence on the phone, and he said, you know something? if there was just one thing I had to tell or would tell people, that is to pray and prepare. And I said, well, yeah, that sounds good. And we spoke about it, and obviously pray all the time and keep preparing, but prepare for what and pray for what? And he said, pray, just pray, but prepare for bad things to happen here in the next weeks, months. And he said, you know, I don't know. I don't have a crystal ball. But he said that the India-Pakistan issue has got him very upset.
Yeah.
And one more thing. He said Russia as well, but then the economic things taking place right now. It's very tenuous. The election, he said, secondary to the geopolitics of the Middle East and of the Far East and, of course, of Europe. So there you go.
So from the information that has been gathered, some unconfirmed reports, India has put all its border air bases on high alert in response to satellite intelligence. They show significant Pakistani troop movement toward the border with India. Also, India has publicly acknowledged Pakistani drones are flying over their border. Unconfirmed reports of drones shot down by India have been continued to be reported. And in the local India media, they have they are reporting that Pakistani operated drones have been spotted near the border, along with the movement of troops. That from the Indiana Indian Times.
There is a ceasefire between India and Pakistan that was inked out in 2003. All right, just so you know. And what happened here of late, what made the difference here, is Pakistan's defense minister threatened to destroy India after India said on Thursday that it carried out tactical surgical strikes on militants preparing to infiltrate Pakistan ruled Kashmir. Okay, mm-hmm. That's what started this whole thing the most recently.
Now, 200,000 have been evacuated as India-Pakistani conflict looms over Kashmir.
Yes.
What you just described, and tensions in the border regions between the two countries have escalated quickly as more than 1,000 villages are being evacuated over security situation. That's over 200,000 people residing in those villages that are 10 kilometers from the border in India.
Kashmir
claimed moved to secure locations.
Right. Now, Kashmir claimed independence from Britain in 1947, and it's important for people to understand that both Pakistan and India claim ownership of Kashmir, and however, both countries rule separate parts of Kashmir. So it's kind of like a I don't know what you'd call it, just a really screwed up mess over there.
Pakistan has denied any surgical strikes took place and labeled the incident as cross-border firing with little substantiation. Multiple news outlets in India cited military sources to report that anywhere between 35 and 40 Islamists were killed in the anti-terror strikes. Indian security has been beefed up amid the possibility of retaliation from Pakistani army from the latest incidents, and local media reports from India suggest Pakistani-operated drones have been spotted near the border, along with the movement of troops. Now, we have to remember both of these nations are nuclear-equipped nations.
But and when I was talking to Steve, he said that his military source, one of the sources, was saying how much further advanced Pakistan is. He rattled off some specific nuclear devices, but the clear winner, if there is such a thing, would be Pakistan. And don't forget the con network of black market nuclear devices. What con did in the earlier part of the century here, what he did with the black market nuclear mess. So that's really important that we have to understand that. And there are no winners in Pakistan or in nuclear war, but I don't know if I think they're just crazy enough, Joe, to forego any type of any restraint. I mean, mutually assured destruction on both sides is key here, I believe.
Yeah, and you know, we see tensions rising between Japan and China with the South China Sea,
yes,
disputed territories. We see tensions rising between the U.S. and Russia, as Russia is said to send more warplanes to Syria after veiled threats by the U.S. State Department.
Hold on. I just want to mention this. Back to Pakistan, India. I don't know how many people know this, Joe, but China and Pakistan, through proxies, have, and you can find this on the internet, they have contributed to Hillary Clinton's presidential slush fund and endorsed her for president. Again,
along with the
UN. By proxy. That's correct.
And we can hit that if you want. The UN news agency scrubs tweet calling on Americans abroad to end Trump.
Oh, my goodness.
This, according to Politico. And, you know, we've seen foreign leaders come out and bash Trump. We've seen newspapers and news organizations that have never taken a stand in any presidential election.
And
or
since
election.
When? Since when did these foreign leaders do this?
Exactly. I guess it's when the new world order of globalism is at stake or appears to be at stake, and they're doing everything they can to protect their corrupt business and slave wage, you know, enterprises that they have. But the United Nations News Center, the official UN news service, tweeted, then quickly pulled the post that called for 8 million Americans abroad to stop Trump. The tweet, published at 9:14 p.m. Eastern Time on Thursday, urged Americans to share a voter registration tool on the website of the activist organization Avaaz that states U.S. citizens abroad could defeat Trump if they voted. The webpage, titled The October Surprise That Will End Trump, allows users to sign up for help registering to vote in the November 8th presidential election and encourages them to enlist their friends as well.
Yep.
Now, on the Hagman Report, we have a couple interesting articles dealing with voter registration and voters. There was an investigation launched in a small town in Virginia after 20 or more dead citizens have turned up and registered to vote in Harrisonburg, Virginia. Officials and the FBI are investigating allegations over voter registration fraud after officials say almost 20 voter applications were turned in under the names of dead people.
Yep.
Now,
that's right.
This is not something that's only held to this small town. This is happening in places all over the country. And you see things like this happening, you know, all over the nation in elections past. 2012, if you remember, certain counties in Ohio had over 100% turnout, all voting for President Obama. For some, I don't know how it worked out, but there was definitely voter fraud involved. And, you know, when you think about voter registration drives, you know, the Democrats are the ones to put the boots on the ground and you know, bus people in from not only different parts of the country but different countries to go vote. And folks, go to Hagman Report to check out this story. Florida Democrats are upset over voter registration drives at a local Chick-fil-A restaurant. Democrats in Pinellas County, Florida, are crying foul over the supervisor of elections' decision to hold voter registration drives at 9 area Chick-fil-A locations earlier this week on National Voter Registration Day.
Well, what's their beef with that, pardon the pun?
Well, this Susan McGrath, head of the county Democratic Executive Committee and leader of the Pineless Stonewall Democrats, a pro-LGBT equality group, says she's all in favor of getting the vote out, just not at a Chick-fil-A, because the Georgia-based fast food restaurant chained, beloved for its fried chicken sandwiches and adherence to Southern Baptist culture of its founder, by closing on Sundays, the company's CEO, Dan Caffey, has made multiple remarks in the past expressing a personal opposition to same-sex marriage.
Well,
that's one of the reasons
it's
that
a
this
venue.
Pro-LGBT Susan McGrath has with Chick-fil-A. Its religious foundations is another. And the fact that they aren't supporting Hillary Clinton.
Look what the Democrats are doing. And again, this is all just theater, folks. I mean, to me, this is theater. But look at what the Democrats are doing on the other side, where they're pooling their potential voters.
She compared it to a Democratic supervisor deciding to hold an event at a Planned Parenthood, and to get out the vote event at a Planned Parenthood.
You don't think that's taking place? At least not necessarily Planned Parenthood, but at facilities like that, of course that is.
Yeah, and this whole thing is a mess, and she has a problem with this Chick-fil-A voter drive, saying, as an elected official, you have a duty to even-handedly and fair get out the vote. But they say using Chick-fil-A as a base for voter registration is not only unfair but overly partisan as well, due to the company's strong and well-understood history of anti-LGBT activism and its publicly association with the Republican Party.
It's not going to matter.
You have Democratic drives to get out the vote, and they're going to push their candidate, and you're going to have Republican drives to get out the vote, and they're going to push their candidate.
It's not right.
The opposition is gathering, organizing, and getting out the vote. Then it's a no-no. If we can, let's go back to the Russian Syria.
Yes, this is critical too, because we'd long said that World War III, and I believe that World War III has already started. Just some quick bullet points here. World War III has already started, folks. In case you haven't noticed, it's going to begin in earnest in Syria. Of course, that's where historically, yes, it's. The great war, Damascus, going to be turned into a ruinous heap. But this all goes back to Hillary and Obama, but it goes back even further. It goes back to Bush. It goes back to the globalist agenda. It goes back to PNAC later, or earlier, I should say, just a little bit earlier than George W. But when Bush decided to go into, to take down Iraq, that started a cascade of events. And of course, after Iraq and Afghanistan, you're looking at other countries, Libya included. Of course, that was the Obama/Clinton agenda there, that were actually doing the bidding of the globalists. Libya was the springboard for funneling weapons into Syria. You know that, this, okay? And many people have said, well, Stevens, there are so many false statements out there about what happened with Libya, with Benghazi. I want to give credit here to the YouTuber Montegraph. You had mentioned earlier, Joe, about the video, okay? The YouTuber Montegraph has done much research and much connecting dots into the origins of that YouTube. That YouTube video, which, and Montegraph was kind enough to do a very specific explanation video that we received and we reviewed with additional information. Folks, there's no doubt in my mind, no doubt in our mind, that that video was the word that was originated from or by the Central Intelligence Agency. But at the time, John Brennan, the Muslim John Brennan, who's now the director of the CIA, but at the time he was Obama's national security advisor. The reason this is important here is because this overlaps into Obama's identity as the passport office. You heard Susan Daniels last Tuesday talk about the passport office break-in, where Obama's passport, as well as Hillary Clinton's, but specifically Obama's passport, was altered. This was, in my professional opinion, a John Brennan / CIA operation. And there are dead bodies associated with this break-in. Lieutenant, that's his first name, not a rank, Quarles Harris, for one, okay? So all of this was the lead-up to what we're seeing today. The wars in Syria are being fought by proxies of Russia and the United States. Just so you know, everything that's going on in Syria is Russia v. U.S. U.S. has been poking the bear. Benghazi, the reason the military and Clinton did not, Clinton and others within the higher color, color guard of the military, why they didn't respond was because they knew a response would be going against unknowns by Russia. That probably wasn't too clear. In other words, they knew that this attack was a Russian operation, and they were waiting for a secondary response. I mean, but which never came. But all of this Benghazi attack was Russia approved in order to expose the machinations of the globalists on the United States, the UK, France, and Israel. I have to put Israel in there to be fair, because this was an Israeli operation as much as it was a United States operation. For reasons you can only guess, Israel wants a sawed out, as does the United States and the UK and France. The Western powers, they want a sawed out. And to me, that doesn't make sense. Israel not wanting a sawed in there and putting somebody from the Muslim Brotherhood in, as they did Egypt. Well, it doesn't make sense until you step back and look at the broader geopolitical picture. That's when it begins to make sense, when Israel is going to be able to, or out of necessity, will fight the armies around it. The thing that was missing from a lot of the analytical things, I believe, and I'm going to be quiet after this show, is the Muslims and the Christians and the Jewish people are all looking for that apocalyptic drive. It doesn't matter whether you and I believe anything. It's what the people in power believe, and their beliefs are driving the actions. For example, the Muslims believe in the appearance of the Mahdi as their savior, the Imam Mahdi. All right? That is driving them in their actions. Now, Islam has been weaponized by the West, but primarily by Germany, Nazi Germany, weaponized Islam back during the Second World War, and the United States weaponized Islam or shored up that weaponization in the late 1970s. Case in point, Brzezinski, Zbigniew Brzezinski did that and pushed the Muslims in Afghanistan against the Russians. This has always been about the United States versus Russia. So, what the United States is doing, and Kerry made the announcement earlier today, or earlier this week, saying, bottom line, Joe, that there will be war. I mean, looking at Kerry's statements to Russia, there will be war. That's tantamount to what he said. Should you, for example, create a no-fly zone, or should a no-fly zone be created? Yeah, and Russia's saying the same thing.
The State Department spokesperson Mark Toner said this is on life support, but it's not flatlined yet, talking about the ceasefire agreement that the U.S. and Russia had reached on September 9th. And the problem is Washington's failure to recognize and separate the moderate rebel groups, as they claim, who Russia claims as terrorists.
And these are their words, not ours.
Right. And this has allowed forces led by the group formerly known as the Al-Nusra Front to violate the U.S.-Russia truce agreed to on September 9th. Now, it has put Washington at a disadvantage, and many strategists say it leaves them with few options. The U.S. has not many alternatives, and it could lead to war, as you said. U.S. officials in analysis argued the White House has very few alternatives. If we do not walk away from this diplomatic process as it is, what are the options? Toner asked. They can't afford to, Chase Freeman said, a retired U.S. ambassador. You can't do international business with silence and ostracism. The White House put on hold new proposals to end the talks despite the possibility that continuing them would erase whatever credibility Washington had on Syria. What they're doing, Assad and Russia backers are continuing the carnage, they say, and they're prompting Saudi Arabia and other Assad opponents to arm rebel groups with better weapons without consulting Washington. This is all turning into a big hot mess. And it is continuing to escalate, and Aleppo now being the center of this escalation. And even CIA Director John Brennan says there's a very different conversation taking place now. In an interview on Friday, saying that Russians' actions in Syria over the last several weeks have shown that Russian President Putin has not been serious about negotiating a political solution to the conflict. In my opinion, there is no political solution. ISIS needs to be wiped off the map. The moderate Syrian rebels, whatever purpose they were going to try to serve for the American government's secret and own agenda to take out Assad, is null and void at this point. I think the safety of the remaining Syrian citizens and the sovereignty of that country is what's most important. And the U.S. has been doing nothing but continuing to create turmoil, violence, and death in that country. And I believe Russia is the country that's going to put that to a stop, which could lead to a war between the U.S. and Russia. Folks, we're coming up against our break. When we come back in this next segment, we're going to start taking some of those questions that we asked you to post on Facebook for us, as well as continue to cover other news and current events on this Friday edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Stay with us.
Welcome back to the Hagman and Hagman Report. What a great honor it is to be on air with all of you. Thank you so much for allowing us into your homes and your cars. And thank you so much for being part of our extended family. We really appreciate it. You know, these are really rough times that we're seeing, I believe. And the times are only going to get rougher, more severe. But, you know, we do have divine protection, and of course, the answers are not found in the physical, but in the spiritual. And we have to always remember that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, we asked that anyone who had questions, you could post your questions on Facebook. So what we're going to be doing for the next, or for the remainder of the show, is going to be intertwining news, interweaving in news, in our analysis on the headlines with your questions. But let's start off this hour, this segment, with listener questions. And how we're going to do this is I'll read the question, and Joe, you can answer first, and then I'll pick up the rear end here, okay? So this from Deborah Foster. Now, you folks, you can go on YouTube or on Facebook, our Facebook Hagman Report on Facebook, and the names are clearly out there. All right. Now, however, if you specifically say don't use my name, we won't use your name. But if you tune into shows like Fox News or even MSNBC, you can see where they, or you can obviously the name is right up on the screen. So, but Deborah asked this. I was wondering why Trump came out against the whistleblower Snowden. Okay, that's the question. Why did Trump come out against the whistleblower Snowden?
That's a good question. What Snowden did, if people remember, was show the American people the extent, and it really revealed what the NSA was, the National Security Agency, mm-hmm. what they were doing to the American people as far as their dragnet super spy abilities through just about, you know, from household appliances to computers to cameras to traffic cams to satellites and data collection through phone taps and email conversations, basically, you know, surveilling you from birth to grave in every way possible. And it was allegedly Snowden who stole the information from the NSA, who he was a subcontractor who worked there. and released it to the American people, then went into hiding and did an interview in China, then went to seek asylum in Russia.
Right.
Now, Trump saying Snowden should be prosecuted, why? That's the question. Why is Trump saying Snowden should be prosecuted?
Yeah, well, why did he come out against Snowden so hard? Go ahead. I mean,
that's a good question. I don't know why Trump came out against Snowden so hard. What Snowden did, I'm not... I think it broke. You know, you see people calling for his assassination. You see people calling for his arrest. But he is a whistleblower. And I don't believe he acted alone. I believe he was given that information. I don't think he stole it. And was the face of spilling the beans on this for purposes unseen. But why Trump came out against them, maybe it's part of a Republican Party line trying to... mainstream establishment types.
I'll just second that. I think that with Trump, I think that he, although he's using, as we all are using, benefiting from, understand the meaning of that word, using the information that Snowden has given and has disclosed, he's also, he's condemning the jeopardy that information, national secrets, for example, when Snowden came out and revealed that, hey, surveillance was on these foreign leaders, and that mm-hmm. put the United States in a very precarious position. So in one sense, I can see where Trump would be saying that. However, I do think you're more accurate than not. I think that Trump is towing the GOP line, the Republican line, and attempting to appeal, despite his personal convictions, attempting to appeal to a broader audience in this case. That's my view.
Mm-hmm. I would agree.
I mean, really.
And I don't know that there's much more to say on that without having Mr. Trump here on the show to ask him about it. But
that's right.
A good question would be, you know, from there, will we ever see Snowden pardoned or back here in the U.S.? And I don't think we will.
I don't believe that ever. Now, we see Mark Rich pardoned and others pardoned by, you know, former presidents and child molesters and felons, you know, pardoned, but definitely not Snowden, because I do think that more people are convinced that his activities are, treasonous, perhaps. But that's an old, well,
we see Snowden and released, you know, methods and ways and means of how they spy on people and who they spy on. And, you know, they're calling for his death in some circles. But you see Hillary Clinton and others who had their personal email servers breached, giving up names of, you know, undercover confidential CIA informants, putting lives in the intelligence communities at risk. That's a much higher crime in public statutes and law, let alone my opinion, than anything Snowden has done. Yet she's walking free as a bird without anything even resembling a criminal charge against her. So what Snowden did was small potatoes in comparison to what Hillary Clinton let happen by her carelessness with her email server.
Exactly. Well, this next question comes from Linda. What do you suggest for a single disabled income restricted person to do when war comes to my area?
You know, we get that question a lot, and we've had, when we take calls and do interactive shows like this, we hear from people who are disabled, who are shut-ins, who are don't have the abilities and the freedoms financially or otherwise to move around and prepare in certain ways. Now, there are certain things you can do, you know, from creating your own indoor vegetable garden. You know, there are these interesting ways that you can, you know, grow tomatoes and other life-sustaining fruits and vegetables indoors. But really what you're going to need to do is just pray and try to create a support group around you of like-minded Christian people who will look after you in those times. And I believe that if you can't, then there will be people that will intervene on your behalf, because the Lord will do miraculous things in times of stress and trouble, and He's not going to forget about the best or the least of us. And we need to understand and learn how to trust in Him, myself included, as we talk about trusting in the Lord as being, you know, the most, one of the most important things you can do, aside from letting Him into your life. But how much trust do we actually turn over to the Lord? And that's something that, you know, I struggle with personally, trusting the Lord with certain things. And I even know better myself. But I think when those tough time comes, that there will be people, whether they are angels or people the Lord appoints, who will come and take care of the people. Yeah, the Lord will not forget about any of us. He talks about in the scriptures how He knows how many, you know, birds there are in the air, how many hairs are on our head before we're born. He's not going to forget about those who are His.
I totally agree with that. And my heart goes out to anyone who is impaired or alone, because it is just incredible. You know, And I've talked to people, I've talked to women whose husbands have either passed away or moved out for whatever reason. We've talked with older people. And everyone, look, we are all in this together, but we are not going to be able to, and this is, I believe this, we are not going to be able to survive what's coming by ourselves, all right? Now, that doesn't mean that we're not going to make it if we are by ourselves. What I'm saying is, there's no way we can survive long term without a support system, because you can't stay up 24/7 to protect yourself, for example, provide your own security. It's an impossible task. So we are going to have to rely not just on others, but as Joe said, on God, pray, and do our best to develop a support group, or at least, you know, a friend, a buddy, a neighbor, a church. And that church doesn't have to be a brick and mortar church, but, you know, the member, the fellowship. It's going to be different with every person. It really is. It's going to be different with every person. The answer is, there's no one answer to that question, except
no, there
the
isn't.
Only, the only one answer is to trust and pray.
One thing that we can be assured of, it says in the scriptures about the last days that there will be a shortage of food and water in the land, and there will be hunger and thirst, but they're not talking about food and water. They're talking about the hunger and thirst for the scriptures. And that's one thing that we have, and we are fortunate to have. We have our Bibles, and, when these times come, you know, besides prayer, we need to continue to be in the Word, not only in times of trouble, but in good times, in times that we have now.
That's right. That's right.
Because if we're not, you know, seeking the Lord when things are normal, what does it mean when we're only seeking Him when things are terrible?
Oh, that's a good point. That's a very good point.
So
one of the things too, this just came to my attention, folks. Please pay attention to this. Apparently, there are some enterprising people out there. There's a Hagman Report Facebook page. That's a spoof, or not a spoof. It's just not our Facebook page. All right,
and there's a few of them.
They're selling hoodies through Teespring. Whoever this is, you know, we're going to find you, and we can't stop it. We can't stop this. But don't rip off our listeners. All right, if you're not at Hagman and Hagman Report, or Hagman Report, I'm sorry, Facebook Hagman Report, you're not at the right place. You'll know you're at the right place when you go to Hagman Report, Facebook Hagman Report. Don't get ripped off by people. And the people who are doing the ripping off, we will come after you, only because...
Legally.
Legally. Do not take money or don't do that to our listeners.
We've had people that have solicited donations under our names.
Oh, yeah.
Without our knowledge. And
using our name,
it will not happen again. And no, we will I mean, that's one thing that we will protect to the end is our listeners. And I think that's why, too, that the surprise that I just saw what I saw.
Yeah, well, you know, it's...
At the same time, it's not surprising, though, so we'll take care of it.
Yeah, that's right. Now, this from Vicky Richardson, wanted to know if you believe there are still projects like the Montauk Project of the 1970s and 80s going on today, and if so, what do we know about it? This is a really great question, Joe.
Remember the Montauk Monster?
Yes, of course.
There was a biolab off of Long Island.
We've been there.
Yes, what's the name of it? Dad, you know the name.
Boy, do I have to give you a hint. Let me read the question again.
Is it Montauk? I didn't think it was that
obvious. Well, it's Plum Island. But
Plum
yes.
Island. Plum Island.
But it's the Montauk Project originating from there, yes.
And what happened was in two separate instances. One, that there's documented pictures of, there was some kind of human-animal hybrid washed up on shore, you know, from off the coast of Plum Island onto Long Island. And yes, absolutely. We know that there are these human and animal chimeras, you know, the DNA is being mixed, and these creations, if you'll call them that, these hybrids are being created by mad scientists or by, you know, scientists, we'll just call them nowadays, who believe that they can create what happened back, you know, when we had fallen angels, that they have this, you know, race of beings that is outside the creation of God, and these people are trying to play God. And I believe there's clones. I believe that not only are they creating animal human hybrids, they're creating, you know, these horrible bioweapons. They're creating every, you know, danger and possible catastrophe that could happen to mankind. And not only are they creating them, I believe that they continue to increase the laboratories that they use to create these things in.
I believe it's
worse than we will ever know. And when we finally get to the other side, when everything's all said and done, I believe the Lord will show us how bad it actually is or was.
Every program, project program that was ever developed, with few exceptions, continues under a different name in a different location with different people, or in some cases with the same people. You can take that to the bank. The genetic DNA, or the genetic stuff that's going on with our DNA, the testing. And I'm going to throw something else into this too, because this is related. You know, Planned Parenthood, for example. Did you see recently, Peter Thiel from, the PayPal? I think it's PayPal?
Yep.
Okay, head of PayPal. Getting transfusions with the blood of young boys. Now think about this for a moment. Because the quest here is to be a godlike, small g, godlike entity, to strive for immortality, and using whatever means are necessary. So this guy, it's been reported that he likes to, and he experiences youth, or the feeling, at least, the feeling of youth by getting blood transfusions of blood from young boys. Now, think about Planned Parenthood, and this is what this is where this genetic stuff comes in.
Aleister Crowley wrote a book about how to sacrifice young boys,
yes,
and use the blood, and what age group, and it's very disgusting, demonic writings. And if they practice any of those writings, it is just, you know, the most horrific sacrifice you can imagine. But they, and what you said, the Planned Parenthood plays into this. Imagine
that's right.
I don't even want to imagine. Don't imagine. But if they... The amount of people who have abortions in this country on a daily basis, we know that they have been illegally selling organs
and you know,
body parts.
Joe, I just want to jump in here. Did you know that was one of the big things about the The Center for Medical Progress, what they did not disclose, well, how can I put this? I don't. All right.
Yeah, I know.
You know where I'm going with this?
Yes,
okay. Help me out here. I'll just say this. The product from Planned Parenthood.
How about this?
Yeah,
the Bible talks about those who drink the blood and who thirst after the blood, almost as if it's a life source. And it warns against groups of people that run around and seek to consume blood. And the Bible sets apart, in the Old Testament specifically, those workers of iniquity and demons who engage in that kind of activity. And that is still ongoing today.
All right. Let me...
And they've done so in a way that is almost like manufacturing cars. They have it down to a science where they can...
Yes, it's just
disgusting.
Well, there was a case that I saw. And let's just talk hypothetical cases, all right? Where, let's just say Russ Dizdar, okay? And he's very familiar with cases like this. But let's just say there was a case that I happened to see that involved a pregnant woman. And a pregnant woman who was a breeder. And those people who understand and who are familiar with Russ's work understand what breeders are. Okay? And this is difficult to talk about. But in addition to the child, which may or may not be, for example, a product of incest, the afterbirth, the placenta, according to some, and I don't want to be gross here, I'm going to tell you like it is, okay? So there are some people out there that believe that by consuming the placenta, you are achieving altered physical states. I don't want to get too far into this.
I guess that's a good way to put it without getting too graphic.
Yeah. Yeah. And see, when we talk about this to people, the people look at us like we're crazy. And especially when the Planned Parenthood stuff, and we're going to break some ground tonight that we haven't talked about within the next hour. Seriously. Because the hour's late. But when people talk about, the Planned Parenthood, you know, and they limit it to just child abortion or unborn children, there's a whole nother big part of this. And you start talking about this, and you will, I guarantee you, you're going to pay a price for talking about this. But the things like that, the things like the placenta being used, not just in cosmetics, there's stem cells, cosmetics, for moisturizers and women's faces. We know about that. Oh, no, there's something much deeper than that. Well beyond anything more that the normal people out there like us want to admit. There's a darkness out there you cannot believe. Let me be clear, because I cannot afford another lawsuit here. Planned Parenthood, we have no knowledge of any criminal activity of anybody we just mentioned at all. So, all right. Yeah.
All right.
Let's get Gina Halpern writes this, and again, these are questions from our Facebook page, Hagman Report on Facebook. Thank you for posting on Facebook here and for liking us on Facebook. Gina Halpern writes this: is it possible this whole election is a setup? And she continues. She says, "We know the globalists wanted Hillary to be president after Obama. Is it possible Sanders and Trump were chosen to be fall guys? Sanders could have agreed to be paid off. Trump gets the fame." I can go on, but that's the essence of her.
Absolutely, it's a very anything's possible. But this is something that I go back and forth in my mind about when you think about the. Relationship between Donald Trump and the Clintons. Donald Trump has donated to some of Clinton's campaigns in the past. He's a member of their wedding. Chelsea's wedding, I believe it was. He has some ties to them. Now, at the same time, we see and know that the globalist right about what we see today is the populist movement. And this populist movement is going to, from what I understand, force the powers that be to trigger some kind of calamity that will bring the Antichrist in and, you know, to bring this thing to its end. Now, the cynic in me says this is all a setup. It's always been a setup. And it doesn't matter, you know, there's no political solution to a spiritual problem, and there's no political savior that's going to come in and help America. But the other side of me wants to believe that, you know, Trump, there's a possibility that he does want to do good. At the same time, I don't hold out hope that Trump gets elected and things get better. I mean, I do hope that's the case. I'm not counting on it, though.
I think he could buy us some time. I do. And other people look at it totally opposite, where he would accelerate the apocalypse,
right,
so to speak.
Right. But what I do know, and what we all know, is how evil Hillary Clinton is, or an extent of her evil.
Oh, yeah, that's a known.
So
she's had 30 years of government service, where she has had 30 years
service.
Well, yeah, I mean, she's been on the public taxpayer dime, whether at the state level as first lady of governor, for roughly the majority of 30
she's
years.
As corrupt as they come. And Trump, at least, is somebody who talks a very good game, and it's not veiled socialism or communism. If he is true to what he says and stands on the principles of free market and making bringing America back to a smaller government, you know, more pro small business, getting rid of these free trade agreements that have killed the manufacturing sectors in our country, then, you know, I am definitely all for him. I just, like I said, I'm just a cynic in the sense that the second I start wanting to put hope in him and hope that he can be the answer to some of the problems that we have, you know, my mind starts going back to, well, what about the last 100 elections and how progressively worse it gets no matter who becomes president. I mean, look at all the hope and change that we were that people had for Obama. I mean, they even propped him up saying he was the next Messiah.
And Obama very well, you know, some people say, well, Obama was just lying. I think that there were some things Obama wanted to do that he got his chain yanked back, which is probably good.
But at this point, I mean, I'm going to vote for Donald Trump in this election.
Yeah, me too.
Even if it is a protest vote against Hillary Clinton. I do not want to see that.
You cynic, you're right.
Woman. The yak in the White House. I said it, the yak.
There you go.
We're going to be right back after these short messages with our last hour, taking more questions from you
on Facebook, Hagman Report.
Stay with it.